I'm really excited about this class. I feel like the Lord's really given me a lot of instruction for it. Like she said, boot camp, equipping for harvest. I've called it all of that. That's the name of this joint. But my focus has really been for our teenagers who were recently baptized in the Holy Spirit while they were at camp. Also for our young adults, also for our teachers who are in classrooms with kids all the time and have really never gotten opportunity for this teaching. You know, I remember during Bible college, even Danette Kelly did get a chance for Bible college. Some of the others did get an opportunity for Bible college, but Danette kept everybody's kids so they could go to Bible college. So Danette didn't get to go to Bible college and get some of the things. Some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you are actually some of the things we've done in Bible college. And so it's just time to be refreshed in the things of the Holy Spirit because of where we are right now and where we're going. As far as, I don't mean necessarily just where Church on the Rock is going, but I'm just talking about for the days that are ahead for everyone, especially the church at large. And so I want to go ahead and let's get started in prayer first, and let's go. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the teacher of the Word. You are the revealer of the Word. In fact, Jesus, you are the ultimate teacher of the Word. And now the Holy Spirit comes to teach and reveal and to bring anointing. And I just ask for you to cause your anointing to rest upon me mightily as I teach this. Holy Spirit, be free to have your way in our time together. We're talking about you tonight. And so be free to have your way in our time together this evening in Jesus' name. And just cause this Word to come alive in the hearts of your people. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 26. I like to start with this on purpose. Proverbs 26. Somebody read verse 4. And read it good and loud so everybody can hear it. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Come on.
Do not answer a fool according to his folly.
Okay.
Lest you also be like him.
All right. Now, somebody read verse 5. Loud.
Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Okay. So, wait a minute. Verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. So which is it? And what I want you to see is this book is written so that the only way you're going to know how to live and understand is through relationship with the Lord. You're going to need the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to realize what is God saying in each moment and in each situation and in His Word. I've got to be sensitive to know and hear the voice of the Lord. Amen? And so I want to give you a couple of testimonies that I love that are so good for realizing the need to hear the Holy Spirit, okay? The need to be able to hear and obey. So Heidi Baker is in Mozambique. She's a missionary there, been living there many, many, many years. And she goes on the streets and she ministers to whoever's on the streets. A lot of people who are runaways, who are beggars. A lot of the things you see in the Bible, like New Testament, because they're a third world poor nation, she sees a lot of that on the streets. She sees a lot of leprosy as well. Well, you know, in the Old Testament, you stayed away from a leper, right? But in the New Testament, you pray for the leper. You cleanse the leper in the New Testament, right? So anyway, she's prayed for many, many, many people with leprosy. So she sees this person coming along, and she knows they're a leper because you can tell they're a leper. Their skin is being eaten away, fingers have fallen off, etc. So it's obvious to her this person is a leper. So she gets a hold of him, speaks to him, asks if she can pray for him. And when she finished praying, she said, Holy Spirit said, I want you to stomp on his foot. She's like, Lord, I don't want to stomp on his foot. Yeah, all his toes would fall off. And yeah, it could happen, for real. And so she's like, I don't want to do that, Lord. And the Lord said, the Holy Spirit inside her said, stomp on his foot. So she's like, okay. I mean, you learn to obey the Holy Ghost. Okay? He has a reason for doing what he says. So she took her foot and she stomped on him after she'd prayed for him. And he goes, ow! All right? And immediately the both of them began to praise God because they knew he was healed. Because they have no feeling in their feet. If his feet and toes had fallen off, he wouldn't even have known it. There's no feeling. Their feet are numb. And so she said, when I stomped his foot and he hollered, I knew, praise God, he's got feeling. He's healed. He did too, though. He knew, I'm healed. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Okay. This other one. This one's kind of a funny one, too. I can't remember if it's been a while since I heard the story. If it was Mahesh Shavda, who's an Indian, he's from India. He is a preacher of the gospel. Miss Diane, you ever heard of him? Okay. I can't remember if it was him telling the story about himself or if he was telling the story about someone else who was an evangelist in the bush of Africa. Okay. I mean, he would go from tribe to tribe preaching the gospel. Okay. And so he's going through the jungle, monkeys everywhere, all the racket of it as he's going through, heading to another village. I don't know why I'm so loud. You're just right here. I'm sorry. Anyway, so he's going through, and as he starts to come in, all of a sudden the monkeys got really quiet. And he heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to preach the gospel right now. He's like, really? To the monkeys? The Lord said, again, I want you to preach the gospel right now. So he said, so I threw it out there. I thought, well, this is good practice anyway. He said, I preached to them monkeys. I mean, I gave them a major salvation message. He said, I preached with all my heart and guts. And he said, when I finished, Holy Spirit said, you didn't give an altar call. He said, oh, come on, I didn't give an altar call to monkeys. He said, you didn't give an opportunity for anyone to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's like, really? So he said, and if this message has touched any one of your hearts, you can come forward and give your heart to the Lord right now. And a whole pile of women came crawling out of the bushes who had heard the whole message. He had no idea they were there. No idea. That's why the Lord said, preach the message of the gospel. And that's why he said, give an altar call right here in the jungle. So you see, the Lord knows what's going on. It's important. What would have happened if he just hadn't heard the Holy Spirit? Or what had happened if he refused to obey the Holy Spirit? It's so important for us. How important is it for us in our daily life? How important is it for you raising children? I wouldn't want to even think about raising a child without the help of the Lord and the power of the Holy Ghost and knowing I could hear his voice. I wouldn't even want to think about it. That would scare me. That would scare me. What about your protection? Think about those that were those Afghan Christians in the underground church who were coming out. I heard testimony after testimony of where they were trying to escape. They would go to a border and it would be closed. They could not get out. And immediately somebody or more than one would hear the Holy Spirit say, go over such and such place and you'll be able to get out. They'd go straight over there in obedience and get right out. Or they would hear him in the morning, early in the morning, say, at such and such time, or maybe in the night, at such and such time, be at such and such place, and you'll have clear passage. What if you weren't listening? What if you didn't know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, or that you wouldn't obey? They'd probably still be there now. Okay? It's so important. I'm talking about for relationships. How about in your friendships? How about if God's saying, you know what, this friend is going in a different direction than you're going in. I need you to not spend so much time with this person. You need to be able to listen and obey. Amen? Listen and obey. How about direction and wisdom in life? You need it as a young kid, but you also need it as an adult, especially. How about a test at school? Like, have you ever inside gone, Holy Spirit, help! I'm so not ready. I used to tell my children, look, you studied, so now you just trust the Lord to help you. It's all you can do. You listen to Him. How about who to marry? Important to listen to the Lord. It's important to listen to the Lord. So, we're going to start tonight, or today, this afternoon. The sun's shining really pretty. We're going to start with, I'm going to just do a basic teaching on the Holy Spirit and why He came, why He's here. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I should show you pictures of when I taught this in the Philippines of what it looked like afterwards, but it might would put pressure on you, so you might feel responsible to respond some sort of way. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. This is the Lord, this is God talking. He said, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. See, God wants it to go well with you. And He wants it to go well with your children, not just for while you've got them at home, but forever. Oh, that it would go well with you, that you would keep my commands so that. Keeping His commands causes things to go well in your life and also for your children forever. And so now turn to Ezekiel. And Dr. Shipp is recording. So if you get messed up and taking notes, it's okay. Ezekiel 36. Listen at what God says He's going to do. In verse 25, He said, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You know what that is? That's the new birth right there. He's taken out that old stony heart and He's going to put a new heart in you and He's going to put a new spirit in you. That's your spirit man. That's your born again spirit man. Are y'all following me? Listen, you are a spirit. That's the real you, a spirit. Your spirit will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Whether in heaven or hell, you choose. This is your flesh suit. Your body's your flesh suit that your spirit man lives in. And your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so He's saying, I'm going to take out that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, and I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then He goes on in verse 27 and says, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you'll keep my judgments and do them. So He's saying, oh, I wish they had such a heart in them that they would obey so it could go well with them. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you where you get born again. But you know what? Obviously, just being born again wasn't enough. And then I'm going to put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. Why? So it can go well with you and for your children as well. That's so good. What a good father. That is called, to me, that's the promise of the father. He knew we'd need help. I'm not good enough to do it on my own. How about y'all? You know, even being born again, it's like, I still need some help. I need some extra special Holy Ghost help. So since the fall of Adam, it's been the desire of God to be in communion with man as one. Jesus came to earth to pay the price that was necessary to deliver us from sin and the power of sin, so that we could be born again, so that we could once again have that relationship with the Father, right? And he came as Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. But in John chapter 14, turn over there. I'll give you a clue. Holy Spirit's going to be God in you. He was God with us. Holy Spirit is going to be God in you. I'm jumping ahead of myself too, but that's okay, because we're still going to read it. So chapter 14, he's talking to the disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to leave and he's going to go back to his Father. And in verse 16, he said, "And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you." You've seen him dwelling with you in me, Jesus is saying. He dwells with you and will be in you. Holy Spirit's going to be in you. Are y'all hot? Yep, me too. Now he said, I like this, in verse 16, he said, "I'm going to pray, when I leave, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper." That word, another, there are two Greek words that mean another. One is allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means another one of the same kind. Okay? If I took his Mountain Dew bottle and gave him another Mountain Dew bottle just like it, that's an allos, another. One of the same kind. Okay? But heteros, H-E-T-R-O-S, means another one also. But it means another one of a different kind. Like if I took your coloring book, but I gave you a reading book, I gave you another book, but it's of a different kind. Right? You follow? So that's the difference. What he was saying is, I'm going to give you another, and in this particular place, it's the Greek word allos. I'm going to give you another one of the same kind, just like me, and he's going to come, and he's going to live inside of you. I've been with you. He's going to live in you. Amen? I love that. Another comforter. This word comforter, the Greek word is parakletos, and it means one called alongside to give aid, to give help. Tell, I need the Holy Ghost. He gives aid. He gives help, right? And I do. I call out. I'm like, help. I'm serious. I say it just like that. That's that desperate. I bet you do, girl. I bet you do. Okay, turn over to John chapter 16 and verse 7. He's telling them in verse 6, "Because I've said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now, has he ever lied to them before? No, he ain't never lied to them before. But he's just trying to make a special point. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. I think King James says it's expedient that I go away. But it means it's to your advantage. Because if I don't go away, then the helper will not come. But if I depart, he will send him to you. Excuse me, I will send him to you. If I go away, then he's going to come. It's advantageous for us because he lives inside of us. Let's stop and look at some points. First of all, the Holy Spirit is not limited to flesh and blood. Jesus lived in a flesh suit. Okay? So that right there puts some limitations on him. No, he's the Son of God. No limitations on him. He said it, okay? He said it here. Listen, he couldn't be in, Jesus is not going to be in Goldsboro and in Raleigh and in Canada and in Mozambique at the same time that the Holy Spirit can. The Spirit of God can be in all places all at the same time. So he's saying it's important for you that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. Okay? So there's no limit to places for him. He also doesn't sleep. Even the Son of Man slept. Jesus, the Son of Man, did sleep. Holy Spirit doesn't sleep. He can be in every one of us, everywhere, Christians all over the world at the same time. He's not in you, and then he jumps into you, and then he jumps into Kristen. And that's silly. We laugh at that. He actually can be in every one of us, every believer, all over at the same time. He's another one, according to what Jesus said, just like me. So everything I was to you, Jesus is saying, everything that I was to you, he will be to you. Everything I did with you, for you, he will be here to do that with you, for you. Everything. So that's powerful. You know, a lot of times we feel like, man, if I just had Jesus right here in the room, you've got the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus would be for you, Holy Spirit. Everything you would need to ask Jesus, you can ask Holy Spirit. Amen. He's saying, right now you have God with you, Emmanuel. But if I go, you'll have God in you. Just as I've been, so will he be. And then he goes on, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'll come back to you. So God was coming back when Jesus left. Jesus was God the Son, right? Right? Jesus was God the Son. When Jesus died and then was raised up and then was he ascended to the Father, when that took place, God came back again, so to speak, this time in the person of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Not to y'all. It's really wonderful. So now, Acts chapter 1, let's go there. This book of Acts was written by the historian Luke. He was also a physician. He wrote the book of Luke as well. He said in verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus... Actually, let me stop and say something real quick. If you read that in the Passion Translation, if you study out what he has to say in the Passion Translation, he said, you can't find anybody whose name was Theophilus in the early church. But if you really look up that word, it means lover of God. So he could have been talking to the lovers of God. Okay? Just side note, I don't have anything to prove it, just for fun. No extra charge. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. After he was resurrected from the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples, okay? Says it right here. And spoke to them pertaining things of the kingdom of God. It says that, verse 3. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. I've already talked to you about him. I've already talked to you about him coming. And now I'm telling you, wait for him to come. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen. So he's saying, you wait for the promise of the Father. What's the promise of the Father? What was the promise of the Father? to send the Holy Spirit, right? That ever since what we read in Ezekiel, I'm going to put a new spirit in you, and then I'm going to give you my spirit. And throughout times in the Old Testament, we see prophecies, even in Joel, where he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on you. And so he's commanding them. He's saying, don't go preach. Don't go trying to start a church. Don't go trying to minister to people. Don't do anything till you first receive the Holy Spirit, who is the promise of the Father. Now look over at Acts chapter 2 and the first verse. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Do I need to talk about the day of Pentecost, what Pentecost means? Okay. In Bible college, when that was said, we had somebody one time say, Pentecost? What in the world is Pentecost? And so we went straight. Jonathan turned around at me and he said, okay, Pastor Joy, I'm going to need you to come on. I'm going to need you to come on in here and take the class. And so that started me going into this whole thing on the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, when the Jews left Israel, I mean Egypt, I'm sorry, when the Jews left Egypt, they were going to meet God at Mount Sinai. Okay? That was the plan. They were to meet God at Mount Sinai. And when the time was come, it had been like 49 days in the Old Testament. You can find that in Leviticus 23. It had been 49 days, and the Lord said, okay, I want you to consecrate the people and set them apart, because tomorrow I'm going to meet them at Mount Sinai. That was what? 50th day. And God showed up. Now, we know the children of Israel were horrified. They didn't want anything to do with him. They were scared of him. And so it, on their end, it didn't work out so well. But the 50th day, and that's what Pentecost means, 50th. So the 50th day was Pentecost. Pentecost actually became one of the feasts that the children of Israel celebrated every year. They celebrated when they came out of Egypt. They celebrated when God was going to meet them at Mount Sinai. They celebrated all these different feasts. One of these days we're going to get into that, because I love teaching on them. But they celebrated the feast of Pentecost also. And so now you've got everybody, all the Jews from wherever they lived, you know, they're coming from Wyoming, they're coming from North Dakota, they're coming from Alaska, they're coming from South Carolina, they're coming everywhere to celebrate Pentecost. Okay? Except I lied about all those cities. I was being silly. So everybody's coming here to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of Passover. I mean, of Pentecost. So verse one of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, these guys were waiting. Remember? For the promise. They're in the upper room waiting. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all in one accord, meaning their hearts are all after the same thing. We're all waiting for what Jesus said. We're not sure what it's going to look like, what it's going to be like. We don't know. We're just going to obey what Jesus said. We're going to wait. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. It ain't no flick your bick sitting over the top of your head. It's fire. It was fire over them. Tongues of fire that came over them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. As the Spirit gave utterance. God personally filled them with Himself. God, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation says, they were filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. One place says, God personally filled them with Himself. which is exactly what took place. And it says they spoke with other tongues. See, the overflow of himself, of Holy Spirit coming and filling me, the overflow of that was other tongues. The tongues were like this outward evidence of what had just happened on the inside. Now, you know, a lot of people get hung up on tongues. Well, you can't have the Holy Ghost if you didn't get the tongues. I can remember hearing that. Well, the Bible's really clear, the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't have the evidence, you don't have the Holy Ghost. And I heard that a whole lot in Pentecostal type church. But the truth of the matter is this. The Holy Spirit was the gift of the Father, right? And he was not withholding. They waited. And when you are wanting the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's a gift. Well, not it. He is a gift. He's a gift to you. He doesn't withhold. Jesus said, would a father withhold from his son? Neither will the Father withhold the Holy Spirit from those who ask. He was asking like, would he give him a stone instead of bread? Do you remember that scripture? I should have looked it up. And he said, no, he would give him. And neither would the Father hold back from giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I realize that a lot of people have an issue with tongues because they're not sure how to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. Or maybe they're just hung up and afraid. I remember a friend of mine who the Holy Spirit was just really moving in a service, and every time the Holy Spirit would move in a service, she would leave the church because it scared the bejeebers out of her. And so finally, I just went to her one day and I said, the Holy Spirit was just sharing with me how you were afraid. Every time we would have service, you were afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. She said, well, he's right. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Because, yeah, I'm scared. It does scare me. And I said, I feel, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to look like or sound like. Some people will be screaming and hollering and acting all kind of ways. I said, well, that doesn't mean you will. That doesn't mean you don't have to respond. I mean, if you've got a really booming personality, you might get loud. You know, I get loud. I get loud. I get loud. As soon as the Holy Ghost comes, I'm like, yeah! And I get loud, okay? That's why I'm loud on Sunday morning. I get excited. I get loud. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know how to shut up and just calm it down. You can't hardly tame the Holy Spirit, okay? You shouldn't even want to. But it really is a matter of people. I think people are afraid of how they're going to respond. And I said, but you don't have to be loud and boisterous or anything like that. You don't have to be. And you don't have to be afraid. She said, great. I'm going to be that one that's the loudest one because that's how I am in everything. I'm going to be the one cackling and carrying on. That would be me. And it was. It was. But I mean, she was okay with it. She was okay. She just decided, turn loose. Just turn loose. I wasn't like that at all. And I used to always be very bashful. And around other people that I don't know, I am. But here I'm not. At home, I'm not. But anyway, I think a lot of people get hung up with the tongues because they're just unsure. And the truth is they're expecting something. They're expecting to feel something, hear something, or it just happens. But listen, he's using your tongue. You got to cooperate, right? You got to cooperate. And most of the time, what happens, this is what I tell people. When I pray for you, God doesn't withhold. What happens is you usually will start, unless you're just like, which is resistant. But if you'll just give way, you'll feel like this little bubbling up inside. Am I wrong, folks? You'll feel this little bubbling up inside. And usually you'll kind of hear something. And the best thing to do is just give way and let it out. Just give way and say it. As silly as it might sound. Give way and say it. If you just do it just kind of quietly, you know, that's okay. It's all right. But that's the Holy Spirit. And that is the evidence of the tongues. It is. I don't get so hung up on that. To me, it'll come. To me, it's going to come. It's there. He's there. I say it. He's there. The tongues will come. Maybe when you least expect it. I don't know. But the tongues will come. So let's look over at chapter 2. He's still preaching. I'm good. They still got to eat. So yay. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Okay, let me stop a minute and go backwards. Just kind of give you an idea of what's going on. So there's all these people, and I'm going to get more into this later, in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard these guys speaking to them in their own language. They're Jews that have come from all over the place. I shouldn't have said the states of America. I should have said other nations instead. They're hearing them speaking in their language, and they're amazed, and they're saying, aren't these Galileans? Look at them. How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, and so forth. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our language the wonderful works of God. So they're all amazed and perplexed and like, what could this ever mean? Other people out there are mocking them, saying they're drunk. They're drunk. So Peter, verse 14, he stands up with the other 11, raised his voice to them and said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is what was prophesied. And so then he preaches. Boy, he preaches. He said, that which you now see and hear, evidence. That which you're seeing and hearing, it's the promise of God. So we see God's promise. We see the desire of God that we read in Deuteronomy. In Ezekiel, we see this is what he's going to do. This is his promise. And he even tells it in Joel as well, in Joel chapter 2. In other places as well, you see the promise of God. And now you see here on the day of Pentecost, God met him again. On the day of Pentecost. God always has it planned out just like he wants it. He always has it planned out just right. It was just fitting and proper that the Holy Ghost would show up on the day of Pentecost. And so what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? He brings manifestation. They were filled. I mean, I can't ignore what the scripture says. They were filled and spoke with other tongues. And it was the other tongues that caused the people who were there to hear the wonderful things of God. Let me see what else I want to say here in this. Oh, he goes on, Peter goes on and preaches. I mean, he gives it to them. Oh, and then he tells them in verse 36, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus who you crucified Lord and Christ. I mean, he goes ahead and tells them. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's required for the Holy Spirit is to be born again. You got to be saved first. The new heart, the new spirit. And then I'll put my spirit in you. So salvation was what was necessary. And he goes on and says, for the promise is to you and to your children. Oh, so children can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's to you and your children and all who are as far off, as many as the Lord our God will call, which is talking about those who are summoned by God to be saved. So as many as are saved, those are the ones that can receive the promise of the Father. It's just being saved. It's being saved. So when you get born again, the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work on the inside of you. And he does come to live, to reside in you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit does come and reside in you. Okay? Are y'all following that? Are y'all okay? But to be baptized into the Holy Spirit is another experience. I mean, it can happen as soon as you're born again. It can happen just as soon as you're saved. But to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is another experience. I remember I used this. Some of you young people are not going to know what I'm talking about probably. But when we had a stereo system, we had a turntable which played the actual album, the vinyl. Boom. Okay. So we had what was called a turntable that played records. Okay. And then it was hooked up to an amplifier, which gave amplification to it so you could hear it through the speakers. Okay? They're all hooked up together. Now, you can put the needle on the record or the vinyl. You can put the needle on it and you can faintly hear it. Or you could in my day. I don't know about now, but you could in my day. You could hear it on playing. But as soon as you hook it up to the amplifier, now you can really hear it. So Holy Spirit living inside of you when you're born again is a wonderful thing. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like hooking up to the amplifier. Amen? Y'all got that? So, we got a few more minutes. Are y'all okay? Are you girls okay? Are you following me okay? Good. All right. I don't want to be over anybody's head. But I want you to all be able to get it. All right. I want you to see something back in John chapter 4 that Jesus said. It just kind of brings more than one verse to confirm what I'm saying. Okay? More than one verse. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Right? Okay, John chapter 4. This is the woman at the well. This is about her. And I'm not going to read the whole story of it. Y'all can go and read it because it's a great story. But what he says to her, he said, whoever drinks, he said, if you'd known who I was, if you'd realized who the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She's like, oh, you know, I want this living water. She said, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Anyway, he says in verse 13, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Another place calls it a wellspring of water. That's being born again. That's being born again. A wellspring of water bubbling forth into eternal, everlasting life. That's being born again. Now, a wellspring takes care of you and your family, right? But now look over at John chapter 7 and verse 37. Do you like getting refresher on this tray? We need refresher on this. Gets us stirred up for the power of the Holy Ghost to move. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So they couldn't be saved yet, couldn't be born again just yet. He hadn't been glorified yet. But when that took place and he left and was glorified, then the Holy Spirit would come. So now you're talking about a river of water. What's the difference in a little wellspring in my fountain, in my wellspring of water, and a river of water? That wellspring will feed me and maybe my family. But a river will feed a whole lot of folks, won't it? That'll take care of a whole lot of people. So this just was another example to you, another confirming word to you of the difference of born again and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Turn to chapter 8 of Acts. Y'all all right? I mean, you gotta get this from the Word. You can't just be making this up. That ain't okay. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoke by Philip, seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hold up. Hold up. 8 verse 5. Okay. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man has great authority of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the signs and the miracles and signs which were done. So now this dude, a lot of the people get saved and baptized, and this dude, Simon, gets saved and baptized. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now they'd already gotten saved and baptized. But now they're praying that they might would receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. As of that point, he had not fallen on any of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And Simon saw through the laying on of the hands that the Holy Spirit was given. Now, he went south with it, but we're not going there. What I wanted you to see was two separate experiences of being born again and then being filled with the Holy Spirit, and also that it was visible. They saw that he saw these people had been filled with the Holy Ghost. So there was evidence there as well. In chapter 9 of Acts, verse 6, are y'all bored with all this scripture reading? Okay, good. Because you're not done. Yay. All right. 9 verse 6. This is when Saul, who was persecuting the church, is on the road to Damascus and probably headed to arrest some more Christians. Who knows? But he's on the road, and remember the light that came down from heaven. Okay. Remember all of that. So trembling, verse 6, he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." Verse 8, Saul arose from the ground. When his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. When he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias, here am I, Lord." The Lord said, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, which is you, coming in, putting his hands on him so that he could receive his sight." Ananias answered and said, "Lord, I've heard many things about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem." He said, "He has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he will suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went his way entered the house, laying his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once. He arose and was baptized. When he received food, so he was born again, got baptized, okay? When he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Wait. I'm sorry. I didn't have to go any further. I was ended right there. Okay. Ended at 17. Ananias went his way, laid hands on him so that he could receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So then he was born again, he was baptized, and then he received the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that people get saved, get baptized in the name of Jesus, and then they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, in that immersion that we talked about this morning. Of the word baptism means baptizio, and it is what they use. It's a word they used when they were dyeing fabric. And they had the dye in a vat, and they would put the material in the vat and baptize the material in the vat with the dye in it. And the material would take on all of the attributes of the dye. It would take on all the color of the dye. And that's what happened. That's why they use that word, that you are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Taking on the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Taking on Him, His nature in us. So let me ask you this. I'm just waiting for them to finish eating, and then they're going to go out and we're going to stop. Are tongues for everyone? We read in Acts chapter 2, it's for you, your children, anybody as far off, as many as are called by the Lord, as many as are saved. In Mark chapter 17, verse 16, you don't have to go there, I'll go there right quick. Mark 17, 16. No, that, I don't know. I must have written down the wrong verse. But that's okay. But in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. I wish all of you did. He wouldn't have said that if you couldn't all. If all the church couldn't speak in tongues, he wouldn't have said that. Then there's also the question of the new birth and the infilling of being a separate experience. I think I explained all of that. Well enough with some scriptures, and also even from Ezekiel when he said, I'm going to give you a new spirit and I'm going to put my spirit in you. Do I have to speak in tongues? All four accounts show the evidence of tongues, but we also talked about the fact that people get hung up on the thing with tongues. And I believe the tongues will come. I do. If you've had an experience where you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you struggled with the tongues, just keep on believing. He didn't give you a gift and take it away, and He didn't withhold the gift from you of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do that. The tongues will come if you've had a struggle with that. And don't let other things cause you to get hung up. My mama got baptized in the Holy Spirit at the tabernacle where your grandparents used to go to church. Mama knew them, and your mama was raised there. And Mama received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had tongues. And it was just a beautiful language, that just a few little syllables that she spoke. But she heard her pastor one night, and when he was speaking in tongues, and it was the same sound as what she remembered of what she, it sounded just like what she was saying. And that messed her up. She was distraught, like, oh no, I have copied my pastor. Oh no, Lord, please forgive me. And she shut it down for decades. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or baptism into the Holy Spirit, when I received, I went to her house on my lunch break the next day from work. I went to her house. She was outside. We sat out there and ate some lunch. And I told her what had happened. Well, she burst out crying. and told me that story. I said, well, let me hear what you said. Because she said, I can still hear it today. The words are still there inside me today. The Holy Spirit had never left, nor that language. And I said, well, tell me what it was. And when she said it, I said, Mama, that's beautiful. That's the Holy Ghost. Y'all, she took off. I mean, she took off. And she never stopped after that. That was all. She just needed to know that. She just needed to know that. But she shut down. Don't let the enemy lie to you and cause you to get shut down. Amen. Amen. And if you get in sin, oh, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. And that's a good prayer to pray. Repent, though. Repent of the sin. And then ask the Lord to restore to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And He will. Have tongues ceased? The church I was raised in said there won't tongues no more. Well, I got news for you. It ain't true. I got news for you. It's not true. Turn to 1 Corinthians and we'll close. We're going to settle this one too. Because you've probably heard it. The day afterwards, I went to work and I thought my Christian boss would have understood and been excited for me. He was not. He tried to talk me right out of it. And I'm like, well, it's too late. Had unreceived. It's just as real as you sitting in this room. Too late. You can't talk me out of it now, buddy. But it made me realize, aw, for him. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When that which is perfect will come is not talking about when Jesus was born in a manger. Okay? This was written way later. Jesus had already come and gone. Okay? This was the church at Corinth. Jesus had already come. He had already died on the cross. He was already raised up. He already descended to the Father. This was later. This was later after this. This is the church of Corinth, a church that's already been established in Corinth. So this is way later. And he's saying, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. He's talking about when he comes back. When he comes back, you're not going to need prophecy anymore. You're not going to need prophecy in heaven. You're not going to need tongues in heaven. You're not going to need knowledge. You're not going to need any of that. But love never fails. Love is eternal. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Love is eternal. And so that which is perfect is when we see him, according to verse 12, it goes on and says, now I see in a mirror dimly. But then, when that which is perfect has come, face to face. Face to face. So when that which is perfect has come is talking about when I see him face to face. When he returns. Or if I go to heaven first, before he comes back. If I leave here and go see him then. Then we'll see him as he is, and we'll know him as he knows us. The tongues, the prophecy, tongues, knowledge, prophecy, all that'll cease. They won't be needed anymore. But until then, they are needed now. They are needed. And tongues are needed. Prophecies are needed. Prophecy is speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's needed now. How many of you could use encouragement? How many of you could use some comfort, some exhortation? Yeah, now. So yeah, these things are needed. They've not passed away. And we'll see more of it in the church. Because I'll say one more thing about this. They say, well, later on, many things stopped. Healings stopped. The Holy Spirit stopped. When? Find me a scripture when it stopped. That's the only scripture they have. Because if it stopped one day and we didn't know about it, did salvation stop too? And we didn't know about that either? If so, we're all in a bind. A bad bind. Yeah? Yeah, like he didn't just Well, I'm sneaking. I'm sneak. I'm going to just stop everything. Yeah, none of it no more. No. No. Actually, when you think about it like that, it doesn't even make sense. Does it? It doesn't even make sense when you look at it like that. But like I said, I was raised that way. And you learn different when you see what the truth is. They were people who absolutely loved the Lord with all their heart. They just knew in part. That's all. They knew in part. I don't know everything either. And that's okay. I don't have to know everything. I just need to know what I need to know, right? Okay. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for helping us to see and understand the truth of your word. Lord, I want these young people to realize that that was an amazing experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you did that for a purpose. And we're going to get into that more and more. Lord, I thank you for these young adults. I thank you for us other ones who are older. We're just a little more old, a little more matured. Lord, thank you for all who are in here tonight. God, I pray that you would stir their hearts with faith where the Holy Spirit is concerned, that they would allow the gift of the Holy Spirit to be stirred up inside of them, and they would be excited about what you are doing, not only in them, but in this earth, because you are moving. It looks like all hell's breaking loose, and it is. But Holy Spirit, you are moving in the middle of all that's going on, because you have a church. And you are moving in your church. You are awakening her. You are awakening her to the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. It is time to awaken and arise and allow the Holy Ghost to come alive inside of you and get about the business of God. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. And, Lord, I pray right now that if there's anyone in here tonight, this afternoon, who has not received the baptism into the Holy Spirit, if they've not received, it is a free gift. And I ask you to pour out your Spirit over them right now in Jesus' name, that they would receive the free gift from the Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen.